It's Front Porch Radio time, everyone. I'm Julie Norris, and I have a great show lined up for you. One of my favorite town observers, I guess you could say, is in studio with me, Mark Baratelli. Baratelli?
Yeah.
Yes. I sometimes screw it up and say Bartarelli. That's so bad. It's like Liza Minnelli or something like that. All right, so we're going to be talking with him, and we're going to be discovering some new music together because Mark was saying he's not too down. Well, he's not down. He just isn't exposed as much as he could be. So we're going to expose all of us to some local music, and then we're going to talk about the Daily City. Here we go. Yay, that was some delicious music, actually. We were just discovering that was Happy Valley off their Mutanten preview. I'm not sure the name of the song because I don't have a track listing here, but that was pretty cool. And then right before that was the Courtneys. Shake It If You Got It is the name of that album. And the track was, I believe I played Cheer Up Dragon. Isn't that a nice title, Mark? Mm-hmm. All right, well, welcome to the show, Mark Baratelli. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I am great. I would be more awesome if I could have my headphones on, but we're just going to go with it.
Okay.
Go. Exactly. So I have been a longtime fan of yours. You've got a really great website that has kind of, you know, evolved over the past, I don't know, couple of years. How long have you, it's the dailycity.com now. But it wasn't always.
Yeah, it used to be like I was blogging on MySpace, and my actor friends were all on MySpace blogging. And then I noticed I was writing these posts just about, hey, go see this show, or my friend's in this show. So then I started a podcast called OrlandoArtsPodcast.com, and I started interviewing people, kind of like you're doing, but on, not on the radio.
Right.
And then I started the OrlandoArtsBlog.com. And just started writing about stuff, and that was like in 2006, 2007.
Right.
And then in 2008, I changed it to the Daily City because I was like, I want to talk about more than just theater art and like the performing arts, and I want to get into visual art. And I was really inspired by like the grandma party and
right.
going to your and like local businesses. I really got into that, so it became more about what is happening in the city. Versus like what's just happening
just in the arts. Yeah. Okay, that's really cool. Yeah. And it's been interesting. I actually have you I wish everybody knew how to use RSS feeds properly, because I have the Daily City is on my Google homepage, so that anytime you have like a new post and I'm like, oh, that looks interesting, let me go click on that, because there's a lot of really good relevant content up there. And in fact, if you guys are wanting, you know, a lot of you are at your computers while you're listening to this, you can go to the dailycity.com right now and check it out. I'm going to have to ask you about the Country Club of Orlando and what the heck that is about, because that's really strange. But you have all kinds of interesting things. What? Okay, let's talk about the Country Club real quick. What the hell is that?
Long story short, I'm a musical theater actor, so I do national tours. And the last 2 years I've done these national tours, and the only thing I can do on to have fun on the road is to go out and walk into these cities, and I just take pictures of everything. And so I'm back in Orlando for the summer, and I'm doing the same thing, walking around taking pictures. And I never knew there was a country club, and so I took pictures of it. But did you know there was a country club?
No.
I don't know.
I mean, I assume every city has one, but where is this particular country club? It looks beautiful.
It's on Country Club Drive, appropriately.
Naturally.
And it's near downtown. It's on, like, I guess it's called the west side of I-4. I think that's what you call it. Kind of around Parliament House.
That's
behind it on Colonial. It's very hidden for a reason. It's like between Magic Mall and Parliament House. There's this gorgeous neighborhood with these beautiful homes, and then this country club, like smack dab in the middle.
Wow, interesting.
But you can't get in because there's a gate, and I'm not a member.
Right.
But yeah.
Right.
I just put that up today, but and like the next post is like a photo that I found. Like, I kind of called it "Where Is This?" because I just
yeah,
it's just
where
so
is
weird.
That?
It's the Pontiac.
It's like a car showroom or something like that.
Down, I think Pontiac.
So it's just like you kind of just document some of the odd things that are just odd little snippets of Orlando. Plus, you know, you post a lot of events and things like that up here too.
I have the most unfortunate post right now for you to look at. Burger King and the content is a bunch of things. There's like some odd little tangential things like, oh, 2000, you know, today's two burgers for $3 at Burger King. I just think it's so stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
And the country club thing. But I also have like when I find events that I really think are going to be worth your time driving to, worth your time spending money at, I put them up there. I post them on the calendar and I try to promote them as much as I can. Like Friday, there's three good events.
Right.
The Vibe Party, that Friday thing, and the Florida Quarterly Noise Report pre-gala.
Oh, well, what is that?
Which one?
The Noise Report.
I don't actually know because it's music and I don't pay attention to music.
But it's got art, video installations, and sound installations, and it's at Stardust, so it has to be cool. Brian Feldman, Pat Green.
Yes.
How come I haven't known about Jessica Early? I have to know what this is.
Well, Friday is the
all these people are so odd.
Yeah, they are odd. But
I mean,
wonderful.
And I love, everyone knows I love odd people, so it's not an insult when I
odd
say that people
way,
are
yeah.
odd. Yeah.
Well, Friday is the pre-party, and it's the visual art and performance art, and then Saturday is the there's something at Will's Pub dealing with music, and that's the part I don't know about.
Oh, okay. Well, that's pretty cool. Yeah, I actually was like, I have everyone's weekend mapped out for them because there's like a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday thing that I need to tell everyone before we end the show. Oh, gosh, there's so much to do in this town, Lord. Oh, and then you have like just like little and Doug.
Well,
you know
Doug
what?
Has a show.
I'm like, who is this Doug character? Because I have never. Doug is the one. Just so you know, he does all of the mushrooms. Like whenever you see brown paper bag mushrooms all over town, like that's Doug. Rodamel,
how do you something like that?
Something like that. Yeah. Anyway, I've never seen the guy. So if I press play on this video on your website, will I see his face?
I don't think so. It's like 15 seconds of him planting mushrooms. I don't know if it shows his face or
not. Oh, man, he's like the most elusive guy. I've probably seen him, and yeah. I just have no idea who he is. So, Doug, if you know who I am and you're listening and you could introduce yourself to me one day, because I just think what he does is really cool, just all these interesting art installations.
You could meet him Thursday, July 2nd at Juicy Temples across the street from Stardust Coffee.
Oh, really?
He has a show, yeah.
Oh, and that's what this is about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Well, maybe I should just do that.
Sure.
That sounds great. Cool. See, I'm learning so much new stuff. Oh, no. I think the computer froze. now I'm screwed.
Done.
Okay. Well, you have... now, you've just changed a little bit of the formats. We were kind of talking off air about how you just added all of these new like segments on your website. You've got something called Markets, Hoods, Buy Local. You've got a calendar, Slamlando. As well as some profiles, which is all your old arts blog interviews, right?
Yeah, they're audio interviews and text, like I do email interviews. I think I've done a couple with you about something with Target and some kind of organic cotton product to come
yes,
out. Yes. Yeah, so yeah, those are... That's
yeah, and that's what is, I think, impressed me most about you, because you usually like do go through and research and you try to figure out what the real deal is behind something. I know, like, when you asked me about the whole, you know, what do you think about Target's organic, you know, t-shirt line and stuff like that, and I was able to kind of give you a little bit of background on, like, what to look for when you are looking for green stuff, but you also did it with the Buy Local campaign when the whole city thing came out with the Buy Local Orlando. You really followed up on a lot of the posts that I was posting on Orlando. And you went directly to the Austin folks and asked them for commentary and stuff like that. So it's really, really cool. So I guess we should give people a little bit of background on that, because that's kind of something that you're kind of working on right now, I should say. I've talked about Orlando and Buy Local Orlando. There's two sort of campaigns in town. And, of course, I'm one of the founders of the Orlando movement. So, what is your take on that whole thing?
Plain and simple, my take, my opinion of what's going on is there. This Buy Local Orlando. It's buylocalorlando.net. You can go there now and check it out. Their main color is red, and which is which I think is hideous. But Buy Local Orlando is using the word local. It's a misnomer. Their program. Is just for it's for any business in the who pays taxes in the city of Orlando. They can slap a Buy Local Orlando sticker on their business,
right?
And encourage people to buy from them. Arby's is a participant in Buy Local Orlando. Radio Shack is, and this is not what's happening in other cities.
Yeah, because that was the interesting thing to me is that you actually went through and you like. Went and looked at each of the city, like you looked at Portland's Buy Local program and like five or six cities, right?
Yeah, I just sat down, had a glass of wine, did a Google search, and I looked at Baltimore's, Philadelphia, Savannah, Boise, and Portland to see how they define their programs, and they're nothing like Orlando's.
Yeah.
Orlando's just, do you pay taxes? Give us $100.
Right. Yeah, so, you know, and a lot of people, you know, It is a very confusing topic for people, and I'm actually this has actually received national attention. I know that the folks from our Orlando movement, we went to I didn't get to go this year, But they all went out to Denver recently. There's an organization called BALI, which is the Business Alliance for Local Living Economies. And they have a local, it's where all the local first campaigns come and they meet each other and they have, you know, it's a big conference where you learn best practices and whatnot. And they've, a lot of people had already heard about what was going on in Orlando. I guess when I was talking to the guys in Austin, they were like, yeah, don't mess with the locals, you know, because, you know, they tend to stick together and band together. And this whole word local seems to be being used very broadly, not just by our city, but also...
I think it's used specifically, personally.
Well, yes, I'm trying to be a little bit political here.
I will be the bad cop.
I think
some of these, like Orlando, if I can...
No, go ahead.
I think when you have the word local, it gives a positive, warm, fuzzy sensation. I think that the city of Orlando, if they aren't aware of this, I would think they're lying. I think they are aware of it. I think they're using it, and it attracts people. A membership is open to any business located in the city of Orlando that has a current city-issued business tax receipt. That's it. That's not local.
Right.
That's business.
Yeah, it's not local. And, I mean, I think Lay's Potato Chips just came out with a whole, you know, these are local potato chips because they were grown in Florida. And I was reading somebody's take on that from the, you know, the small farm agricultural community, and saying that this, you know, just like the word organic has become too small, so has the word local, because organic, you know, I of course have Dandelion Organic Cafe, and the ethos and the value set behind organic is more about small farming. It used to imply a lot more than it does right now, because you've got these big mega farms that are now, you know, you Heinz and Hunt's and all these people own huge mega farms where they're, you know, I use quotations, using organic farming practices, but it's not, it's still not done on a sustainable scale.
They're co-opting something that's real to brand their product to appeal to people who...
Right, and so it's all about getting to that small scale and learning what, I, you know, it's almost like you have to use the word local and independent together now. Because that's really what the local movement has been about. It's about the independence of small businesses and helping support them. And, you know, with the Orlando movement, we don't just say buy local. We actually say think local first, because it's not, I mean, there are certain things like, you know, we can't grow coffee here in Orlando. So, of course, we're going to get coffee from somewhere else. I can't imagine, you know, people giving up their coffee habit, you know. But you know, you can buy your coffee. I always try to say, you know, if you can't buy it local from here, buy it local from somewhere. And that means, you know, take that value set and support a small independent farm from somewhere else. Like, I know Seven Sisters Coffee is a new coffee shop on Mills. Have you been there yet?
Yes, twice.
Oh, isn't it just, like, adorable? You're like, there's too many kids in there for me. It's got a little playhouse in it, so it's probably not so quiet. I think he really is coughing.
I was doing it for a second, then I'm coughing.
Here, do you want some coconut water? I've been drinking right out of the jug.
I'm okay. No, I've been there twice. It is a little, and I don't. It's not my speed. This sounds negative. It is not negative. It's soccer mommy. It's very friendly. Mm. White walls, cute furniture, soccer mommy, kids running around. If you've got a room dedicated to children's playthings, I mean, come on. You know who you're trying to attract. And I support them. I will go back and buy stuff, but I can't hang out there.
Right. It might be, yeah. I could see where that would be. But it does have its perfect niche. And mm-hmm. The cool thing about that place is they support a women's cooperative down in South America, I'm sure somewhere. I'm not sure of all the details, but it's a small scale coffee farmer, coffee plantation or whatever. I don't even know what they call those things. Coffee plantation?
Mm.
Banana plantation?
Farms.
I don't know. Farms, whatever.
Eco plant. I don't know.
But anyway, so you recently posted this whole thing up there about these five different cities that are using, you know, and comparing Orlando's program to them. And then you had a call to action. What was your idea?
I wrote this like 2 weeks ago. Oh, wait. Tell me, well, I know that my only thing is, oh, I want them to take the word local out of their program. I think that their program is wonderful. It encourages people to spend money. That's what their goal is. This is from their website. The goal of buylocalorlando.net is simply to connect the businesses in Orlando with the buying power of our local community. That's it.
Right.
Great. Wonderful. Round of applause. We're in a depression, recession, whatever. But take the word local out. Right. And I think that the word local needs to be, that program needs to be run by locals and not the city.
Right. And I will say that, you know, as part of the Orlando thing, we did meet with the city to discuss a lot of these concerns with them. And they did pull back. Originally, the language on the website was all about local and independent, but they weren't actually allowing, or they weren't being exclusive, as they call it, in terms of letting that be just local and independent. So we asked them to please at least clarify and take the language off of there that said that they were promoting independent businesses. So the language that you're seeing on there now is actually a big improvement over what they had before. Yeah.
Do you read about this stuff in the news at all? Is anyone writing about this? Because I mean, I don't read the papers, but.
Well, I mean, it is being written about, and especially on the much larger scale, like the whole Frito-Lay thing that came out with them.
Right, calling,
yeah, yeah, on that level. The Orlando Weekly did an article on it, Orlando versus Orlando, several weeks back. Billy Maines did a story on it. So that was really, really good. But for the most part, you know, it was actually an Orlando Sentinel reporter that called me for a comment that actually tipped me off to the requirements because I hadn't looked into it yet. I was just like, oh, yeah, cool, awesome. More people, you know, supporting the local movement. That's great, you know. And then she was like, and I was like, yeah, this sounds like a great program. I haven't looked into it myself. And then she was like, well, have you seen their requirements? And she told me about it. And I was like, oh, that sounds pretty misleading. So people are kind of wise to it. But of course, you've got a press corps now that is, you know, virtually non-existent because they've all been laid off. So.
And I won't say specifics, but I just heard how much, like, if you write something for the weekly, how much they pay you. And I won't tell you how much or my source, but it's outrageous. And I don't know if this is what they pay every writer, but it was, I couldn't believe it.
Outrageous in a good way or outrageous in a bad way? Yeah.
What they're paying.
Well, I know. I have a weekly right here. And of course, on the cover is Instant Ramen isn't just for broke college students. And I've been noticing, you know, that the weekly has been getting smaller and smaller. And, you know, I've had conversations with the editor and it's a tough thing right now. You know, a lot of advertisers are not really able to spend their money. And of course, that's what, you know, makes publications like this possible. So it's just kind of tough, you know, and then you have, you know, basically no operating expenses, and then you've got writers that are really, truly talented, and, you know, they actually do a lot of really good investigative reporting, and it's just, I don't know, they're being taken over by the blogosphere. It's your fault.
They are not being taken
over. It's your fault.
No, their business model is based on advertising, and people can't afford to advertise, and nobody's reading. I mean, I think readership is decreased, but I feel like I read something positive about the weekly. I feel like these weeklies are actually doing well in cities, and where in cities where the paper, the main paper like the Orlando Sentinel, is dying, these weeklies are doing well.
I think that's probably true. Just like you see Bennigan's. I've seen like 50, I think all the Bennigan's are being shut down right now. I've seen this like the second or third one that I've seen totally closed down, and it's like, oh my lord, you know, like, I mean, I don't want to say cool, you know, but like, you know, it's really a time where people are starting to pay attention, I think, to their values and are starting to shop their values. Like you have, I mean, like when did you get on the local bandwagon? What was your inspiration for that?
I honestly think it had a lot to do probably with you and reading your website.
Really?
Going to your restaurant, going to getting out of my car and going to grandma party. There's that Florida creatives. I think just meeting people and talking to people and seeing that there actually was like people sitting at home knitting, you know, knitted cats that you could buy for $5. I know that's
just, like randomness. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. And I wanted to, whenever you see stuff like that, whenever you see like creativity, like just kind of sitting there out in front of you, you just want to cuddle it, buy it, and like promote it. And
right.
That's really, I mean, I perceive, like, I feel like you're on the front lines with what you do. You're actually doing the things that I'm talking about, and I
no, you're doing it too.
Yeah.
No, but that's, I mean, but
paying people and buying products.
I'm paying people barely. Oh my God. we're and that's the thing though. It's a tough time for everyone, and it's the reason I'm so passionate about local is because there is so much creativity, especially in this town. People do not realize how diverse and how because a lot of times when you're immersed in something, you know, you don't realize until, you know, we've had a bunch of people like try to go off and move to Portland or Asheville or do something cool like that, you know, and then they come back and they're like, it was like so white out and there's so much diversity here and there's so much different types of music and there's so many different types of art. And, you know, we've got like this amazing like whole like street art scene, as well as, you know, fine all the way from street art to fine art, you know, like it's just, and everything's cool and most people are friendly and everyone gets along for the most part, you know.
But it's just like the Fringe Festival. It's this great thing that's happening and it's wonderful and it's creative, and a majority of people don't go or don't know about it.
Well, but the cool thing is you did something cool this year, and this is where you're adding things to the community, because you saw an opportunity. You did something with the Audience Choice Awards, or what is the whole deal?
Oh yeah, let's see. So I've done Fringe Festival, a show in Fringe Festival for like the past 3 years, 2006, 07, and 08. And I, just like when you walk around Orlando, like when I walk around Orlando, I see things, I observe things like, oh, maybe this would be better, or this would, I just observe things. So at the Fringe, you do the same thing, you see and you listen to what people say. And one of the things that people kept saying was, some people, not everybody, they were like, I wish that show, they have this thing called Patrons Pick Award, mm-hmm. which is done by the Fringe, and they have like, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 venues. And the show that sells the most tickets in each venue is Patrons Pick. That is the only award at the entire mm-hmm. festival. 50,000 tickets, you know, hundreds of shows. You have 7 awards, and that's great and wonderful. And I support the Fringe for doing that. But everyone kept saying, "I wish that, you know, this other show that was really, really good, but maybe like 80 people only saw, but those 80 people loved it. I wish we could give them some kind of recognition."
Right.
So, I mean, honestly, I bought PatronsChoiceAwards.com, first of all, but now it's AudienceChoiceAwards.com. Don't go to PatronsChoiceAwards. I don't know who owns that anymore. I threw up a Google form, and I put the, you know, just, you go online, you vote, and hundreds of people voted, and we ended up handing the awards out at a Fringe Festival event called the Fabby Awards.
Oh, cool.
And should I talk about the awards?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, because I thought that to me was the interesting part, you know, pairing the visual art with...
Right.
I mean, that was the coolest part.
Sorry.
That's all cool.
That's the background of why the awards happened. And with the open arms of the festival and Beth Marshall, they really welcomed the awards. She said, you know,
it's very fringy.
It is very fringy. It's not fringy. It is fringy in like its artsy way, but it's not fringy in that it's like an award based on your opinion. And mm-hmm. the Fringe here in this city is based on people pulling names out of a hat. That it's not about judging.
Right.
No judgment. So, long story short, they let us come and present she invited me to come and present the awards at the Fabbies, and so I was like, well, okay, I'll go into Photoshop and design, you know, an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper and hand it out. And I was like, well, what if I got, like, some artists to, like, make this 8.5 by 11 piece of paper? And I was like, well, what if I didn't tell them what medium to work in? And I was like, well, what if I got an artist to make every single award? There was like 27 awards.
Right.
And I was like, I don't know. And I was like, that sounds like the best idea. Like, let somebody who knows what they're doing make
right.
something, you know. So I got this fantastic person named Jessica Early, who you know as well.
I do. I have some of her art. It's going to hang in the baby room.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. And she's also, I think she's curating your...
Yes, Dandelion's having. You know more information about it than I do. But
I just talked to Jeremy last
time. Oh, okay, yeah. Apparently, she's curating our next art show at Dandelion.
Which is helping with Jeremy.
Right.
Some sort of
co-collaboration, and it's going to be a bad art show, apparently.
Quote unquote bad.
Quote unquote, right.
So she got her fantastic, talented, truly art people to. She said, "Okay, you artist, you're gonna make the award for best original play, and you're gonna make the award for best musical." And these artists took it, ran with it, and we came back and we handed out these pieces of visual art to these performing artists. And that, like I said to you earlier before the show, like that confluence, what was it, the the commingling,
right,
of visual arts and visual artists and performing artists getting together. It was very neat. A lot of people came up to me and said,
"It's like the Oscars, but better."
It's like the yeah. It's like if you had got artists to.
I mean, but like obviously way better. But I really could see it turning into like a whole gala event. Like 3 years from now, just trust me, you're gonna have like a whole thing on your hands.
That'd be cool. I did talk to my friend Dina, who's like my very good friend, who we bounce ideas off of, and we were talking about if we could get the art a month in advance or 2 months in advance, and then do an actual art show a month before Fringe to promote Fringe, to promote the awards, and big time to promote the artists. Because one of the big facets of these awards was that I put photos of each art piece and the artist's name and link to their website on our blog to promote Fringe, to promote the artists.
Yes, yes, I see where you're going with this. And I'm in love with this idea. I think with proper massaging and manifestation, you're talking to a whole audience of really cool people right now. So, I mean, it just seems like the kind of thing that could really, I don't know, tumbleweed into something, and then everyone will go, Fringe should have had this like forever.
Well, you know, I hope they just say this is a neat thing, and,
right,
and they don't. I mean,
well, no, I mean,
Fringe
it's just
awesome
like,
as it is.
But it's just like, how do you take, because Fringe is awesome. And how do you take something awesome and make it more awesome? Well, you throw in this really cool audience award. What is it called?
AudienceChoiceAwards.com.
Cool. Well, he's manifesting this right now, so the future is looking bright. And we're going to manifest some taco trucks and a mobile art show when we get back. For those of you that are just tuning in, I'm talking with Mark Baratelli, and he is the, the founder, the genius behind TheDailyCity.com. So check that out while we play some more music. Okay, that wasn't particularly my style. How about you, Mark?
I loved it. Was that Mariah Carey?
That was Space Jam Psych Math Rock. Math Rock. I mean, that's a new term I have never seen before. That was Happy Valley. And just because it's not our particular favorite doesn't mean that somebody out there doesn't like that. That was track one. That was called Sore Spot. Apparently track two is Chen and the Cockroaches. We will pass on that. But... we're back. You're listening to Front Porch Radio. And by the way, you can also catch a podcast of this sometime later today, once I get around to it, on frontporchradio.wordpress.com. So if you missed any of the inside gossip, then, you know, you can always, yeah, it'll be available into infinity. So we
forever.
Better be careful what we say. Okay. So speaking of gossip, you do have a couple of, you know, if you have this one thing, we're going to talk about Slam Lando too, but there's a trends category, and under that, one of the things that caught my attention was the taco truck guide. Please, do tell more.
It's taco truck guide. It's something I'm just, there's this trend, and I use that word, I don't know, it is, it's real, it's a trend. It's something that gets popular and then goes away. It's not like trendy, but in LA and California, I've seen online these taco trucks. I went in San Francisco and saw one. People wait in line, you get food on the street, it's like authentic. It's like a kitchen on wheels, and it looks fantastic. And someone told me that there was one in Orlando, and so I set up this thing called the Taco Truck Taste Test, where if you've seen a taco truck in Orlando and you're curious about it, but you're like, I don't want to stop on the side of the road, and what if these people can't speak English? And so what? And I'm being honest.
Right? I know. I agree.
Stop there. I'm gonna go to McDonald's.
Because we know where that meat comes from.
Wait, it's 10% meat. I just read that.
Oh, is it?
10% meat.
The rest soy?
It's something like, we'll get into that.
Right.
I just read it. Anyway.
Okay.
So what I'm doing is taco truck taste test. I go to a taco truck. I try it out so I know how much it costs, how the food is, if the people can speak English, and if they can't, then I have to figure out what the menu means, because the first one on June 30th, the whole menu is in Spanish, and the guy...
Well, and that's when you know you're going to get a really good taco.
Hex, yeah. So I went there ahead of time. I got the menu. Someone was there, just happened to be there, who spoke Spanish and English. They translated the menu. So now we're going to meet on June 30th from 6 to 7 p.m. The directions are all on thedailystudio.com. We're going to go there as a group, and we're literally just going to go there, buy a taco, try it, and then drive away. I mean, that's really...
Right. But then I'm not gonna, complicated.
Yeah. No, it's not at all. I'm going to take pictures. I'm going to write a review if people want to write in their own reviews. And then we're going to create this guide, which is hopefully going to be like include a map and, you know, reviews of each taco truck, where they are, the hours of operation. Because I think personally that this will, in the next year, I think people are going to get into it.
Well, and I can tell you why. Because it's a very low cost way to make an earning and an income. And a lot of times the trucks will move around because they don't maybe have the proper licensing from the state, which, you know, think what you will about that. I don't know. Sometimes
Well, they can't be in the buy local or land.
Yeah, definitely not. But so basically, because I heard there was one, there's been some taco trucks in California that basically you have to like get updated onto where they are, because, you know, by word of mouth, because they will move around, because when the restaurant inspectors come, they'll get shut down and fined and things like that. So,
or I mean, I don't know about that. I haven't really read about that, but I have read about things that move around.
I've talked to the restaurant inspectors. Okay. So well, I mean, I own a restaurant, so, you know, I mean, but, I mean, it could be a marketing ploy, too, like, ooh, find the taco truck, but...
It seemed like there was this restaurant called Koji, and it was not a restaurant, it was a taco truck, and they were not popular, they weren't selling a lot of stuff, and they started posting their location on Twitter, and so you followed them on Twitter, you found out where they were going to be at what time, and now the thing, I saw the videos on our website, that people wait in line for 2 hours in the dark. It becomes this event. It's very popular.
Wow.
Koji, I think it's Koji BBQ on Twitter.
And I can see the trend, not just being taco trucks.
Food. There's a crepe cart, which I'm going to do a post on. It's downtown. I didn't get the hours or anything, but I tried it. I got photos of what I bought. So hopefully, I want to encourage people to start buying things on the street.
I'm going to start doing this too, because I feel like there's a place on East Colonial. I feel like it's maybe near past Bumby. I don't know. There's a place maybe near the Cimarron. I'm going to have to track this down. So yeah, we should all, and then you can go to thedailycity.com, or is there a whole other URL for this?
Yeah, well, there's. Just go to thedailycity.com. We also have tacotrucktastetest.com and tacotruckguide.com. You know, if you have an idea, buy the URL.
Right.
Because someone else will.
Yeah, he's already got this one down. Okay. So now, also under trends was the mobile art show. Talk about that for a minute.
So I was interested in, like, this food on wheels, kind of what we just talked about. Like, it could be taco trucks, it could be crepes, it could be vegan food, it could be iced teas, and it could be the shape of a van or an ice cream bicycle thing. And then I was like, well, what if you could sell art? You know, then if everyone goes, oh, God. You know, was like, well, you know, really, what if you could, what if I could pull up in some kind of contraption and sell...
And peddle some really cool handmade...
Yeah, and
hand-knitted cats.
Exactly, yes. I don't know, like, take grandma party on the road, take fringe on the road, have it, you know, just bring me all your stuff you want to sell, and I'll sell it, and it's all art. And originally I was going to do it like everything is $10 and below. It was just going to be this thing you could pull up and pay $10 and go, but now I'm kind of opening up to any price. And then I was like, well, why limit it to just being this thing on wheels? It could be in a location, it could be in a, what was the idea? I want to see if Fashion Square Mall would like host it. That's a rent. Who would want to go to an art show in Fashion Square Mall? That's why you should.
Yeah,
do
nobody.
It.
Exactly. I don't want to go there.
Exactly. That's why. And then yeah. So maybe I've just not unsold you on that.
Right. Well, no, but I could see it. You know, especially to help promote. You know, of course, Orlando has a whole like we're performing a local music alliance right now. And a local art alliance is one of the things that's, you know, slated to be happening. And it would be a great thing to be able to, because that way an artist is always getting their stuff out there and without having to actually be present all the time. Maybe, you know, they take the cart 4 hours on Saturday and, you know, once a month or whatever, whoever's stuff is in there, like a little mobile co-op art show, you know?
Yeah, like I've heard there's a co-op, an art co-op on Edgewater.
Cottage Industries.
Yes. And it's I heard about the prices. I think it's a little pricey. That's my little
opinion. College Park.
So, you know, there are opportunities to sell art. You display your art in your...
Right.
But
accessible, inexpensive.
It's accessible, inexpensive, right. Yeah. But, like, I don't know. I'm interested in selling it and getting it out there. I don't make art.
That's one of my favorite artists in town, Morgan Steele. He does a lot of the painting for me. And he's, like, low-budget man. I mean, he's one of the most talented artists. He does all this beautiful folk art. And he's always, like, you know, an 18 by 20 is always, like, $60, which is completely affordable, especially with all the detail that he puts into it and stuff like that. And then he'll sell, like, he has $5 things and $10 things. He's at the Lake Eel Farmer's Market, I think, every Saturday or Sunday or whenever.
Lake Eola is 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Okay.
Lake Eola Farmer's Market.
Yeah, and those are great places to discover all of these things, too.
And if you're an artist, that Lake Eola thing is $20 for a space to sell.
Right.
So
that's nothing. Yeah.
But I was actually talking to a visual artist, and she was saying that. She was like, you know, it's to go every week to sell, you know, to go to this market and that market is very expensive, mm-hmm. and it's time-consuming. And I was like, well, I'm not doing anything. So. If I'm providing a service to artists and also hopefully to people who want to buy it, then that's
right. Cool. Yeah, because I mean, Morgan, he literally has to sit there the whole time.
I talked to him. Mm-hmm. I introduced myself. I bought 3 pieces, and they will be for sale at the mobile. I'm collecting stuff now.
Oh, cool.
So, he was saying that he makes most of his money through commissions.
Oh.
Which I think is interesting. He sits there and he sells his art for cheap, but what he does is he gets people go, oh, this is great. This would be, could you come and paint? I think he's doing an armoire
or whatever.
And he's doing like a kid's room. He's like, he gets these commissions from just putting his art out there.
Yeah.
So that's cool too.
Yeah, that is really cool.
And it's also just neat to like, if I just love to like collect all the art that I think is great. And then, like, sell it to people, but also give them the artist's name, the artist's email address, the artist's website, and then hopefully maybe they all can start doing commissions.
Right.
We need to connect, and I said this to somebody, to an artist, and it did not appeal to them whatsoever. I have to work on my message, but we need to connect the rich people who have the money with these artists.
Yes.
We can't keep depending on these artists to buy art from other artists because everyone's broke. We have to bring in money people. And I know. I'm not saying I'm the
You know, I was that, just like, thinking about something. This morning because I was like, and actually this is a big topic. One of the things that, I'm glad we're talking about this because there is there's a movement in other cities, you know,
There's
always a movement, and it's part of this whole thinking local ethos, and it's about social and local investing, and basically bringing that money and shifting the consciousness of the people that have that money into supporting what is good and has value here. I mean, there are so many people that just lost how much money in the stock market. I don't know. I don't have any money in the stock market, but people do. They've all been gambling with these far off corporations that they don't know, they have no connection with. It doesn't bring any value into their lives. And here we have a city full of, and I can tell you, I'm a business owner, so I know, like, I'm actually putting together a whole marketing plan because times are super tough. And even when you have a restaurant full of customers like mine is, it's still super, 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 super scary. Like, I've been worried, will I be able to stay open through the summer? Like, it's
I hope you. Somebody out there, you need to come to this restaurant and buy some tea.
Well, I mean, but the thing is, and that's a part of the greater dialogue. You know, one of the things the reason I'm putting together the package is because I know that once I let my customer base know what's going on and say, hey, look, you know, because it's a very prideful thing. Hey, we're not making any money and there's trouble paying the bills. And then once you get into that landslide, I mean, everyone listening probably knows on a personal level. Imagine on a business level when you're dealing with payroll and my food bill is like $3,000 a week, you know. So it's, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, and then you're like, cash flow, and then the checks bounce, and then you have $175 in fees that you can't afford, and you're like, how is this happening? So it's like
a therapy group.
Yeah, and I'm not the only one. Like, there are so many business owners right now just kind of like, it's almost like we're like looking around going, okay, who's going to go first? You know, like it's important not only for the people. And I have loyal customers. I mean, I am not faulting my customers at all because they are in there. I see them. They're there. They are filling up the doors. But when you've got rising food costs and then all of these unexpected things hit you, like, you know, I mean, I have an old house that is the cafe. And goodness sakes, like, there's something always broken. I mean, if you've come to the cafe lately, Morgan Steele's beautiful picnic tables, like, they look like crap. And again, the sun's killing them and they're falling apart and, you know, there's no money in the bank to fix that. So anyway, I've got a couple of schemes up my sleeve because I always do. But the whole point is to try to raise the consciousness and, like you're saying, attract the attention of the people that are doing well right now. And there are lots of people doing well right now. There are still people with money. They might be handling it a little bit differently. But, you know, really talking to them about investing that money locally, buying gift certificates at your local restaurants or gift shops or whatever, you know, going to these places and supporting local artisans, the local restaurants, the local retail shops, like Etoile Boutique is like such a great example.
I went there on Sunday and they were closed. Aww. That's my first visit. I was like,
I think she closed early that day too. You haven't been to Etoile yet?
I support them on my blog 100%.
I know.
It's like I don't,
you've probably seen
clothes.
Her out at sure markets. I think they have boy clothes, but they also have accessories, and that's like the fun part. They have all kinds of really cool accessories. So, and she's a huge supporter of the local artisans and the people who, you know, knit the cats. I mean, you could probably find a whole plethora of knitted cats at her shop.
I'll buy them.
Etoile is over in the, where is that? The Milk District.
I love all these new neighborhoods. I have one of my headings is Hoods.
Right.
And I don't think I have them on there yet, but I like.
No, you need to get them. What I love about the Milk District is because most of these other districts popped up because of the Main Street program, which is a good program to help revitalize each of the business districts. But it's a city-run thing, and you had to apply for all these grants and yada, yada, yada. Well, the Mills District, I think they were just like, forget it. We're just going to do one ourselves. We don't need maybe they missed the deadline. Maybe they weren't interested. I don't know. But they came up with their own name. They had their own party. They've got, you know, all kinds of things going down in that district. So it's really cool. And that's over by the T.G. Lee Factory, which is why they call it the Milk District, which I thought was interesting. But I love the Milk District.
I love Drunken Monkey.
Yes, Drunken Monkey. And then you've got the Plaza Theater over there, which really irked me when they opened the other cinema and they called it the Plaza. Has anybody pointed this out?
Yes.
Why can they do this? What happened? How does that happen? It's been the Plaza Theater forever. And then they just come up and they name the one downtown the Plaza?
Well, you have to, I don't know the reasons, but okay. It's called the Plaza Cinema Cafe. Now somebody sat in an office and went, y'all, now this is not just a movie theater. We're not gonna call this a movie theater. We got restaurants. We got alcohol. They're actually doing art below. They got shops on this side. It's a plaza. We got to, like, they shove these words, you know. store mall movie. But I mean, I think honestly that name came from that.
Well, it was kind of interesting. Kind of like there's a on what is it on Central? There's the Stardust Lounge. Have you seen that?
Yeah. Where? Central?
It's on Central. It's right next to Lake Eola. You've seen it.
Oh, yes. It's like kind of 40s, 50s.
Oh, yeah. Ago. It's totally... I mean, that if you want to find rich people, you could probably go there. But they, it's like, dude, how can you name that place the Stardust Lounge when there's clearly another Stardust in town?
You know, this goes back to buy the URL. I mean, buy the URL. And even if you do buy the URL, someone can still buy the .info, the .org version of a URL. I have seen so much, not in this city, just in general, like copying people... You know, there's a theater reviewer, and there's a new theater reviewer on Facebook. There's Elizabeth Moffat on the... Like, everybody copies each other. And
right.
It's the person who is winning is the person who's winning right now.
And they have a URL.
And they have the URL, but that doesn't mean you can't win. You just have to somehow copy somebody. It's so much copying in general. That's a whole other topic. I don't want to get into that.
Yeah, we won't get into that. Okay, so... oh, man, Jesus. I mean... Something. I don't know. It's just
Buddha.
Yes, Buddha. There we go. We've got like 3 minutes left. What else? What else have we? What do we need to? I know I got to tell people about a few events, but what have you got going on that we need to know about?
As far as like cool stuff to do.
Yeah.
Oh, good. I'm so prepared for this. Wait, I've got the calendar up. Well, something I did want to talk about. Speaking of like, you know, you said at this point you're. Your business is not really on the up and up. My blog is not getting a lot of hits.
Oh.
I have been doing this thing since 2007, and I don't do it for money, obviously, because you can't make money. I just accept you can't make money from blogging, and I didn't get into it for that reason. But literally, it's been stagnant. Like, I'm getting about... there's about 170 subscribers, and every day there's about between 100 and 150 visitors every single day. Unique visitors for those marketing people out there. And like
that's actually not bad. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's a lot, but...
It's about 1,000 a week, sort of.
Right.
And on the weekends, it drops tremendously. But I just don't know why. Like, my blog doesn't get written about in any newspaper. Like, I feel like it serves a purpose, but it just, the numbers are stagnant. So if you like it, please tell your friends about it.
Yeah.
I just think there should be. I feel like there should be more numbers than what I have right now.
Yeah, I totally agree, and that's pretty much. I mean, I didn't know that you were having. I figured you were like the hottest thing in town.
I think
so
people, I think people come to me and say that. I think there's this image about it.
Yes, like Dandelion. Oh,
Dandelion.
It's like
it's got to be, you know,
right, so and you're like, cool. Yeah, I'm like rolling in money over here, you know, or whatever, you know.
So just spread the word about Dandelion and the Daily
and also and do what I do, and I put an RSS feed. You click on the RSS feed somehow, and then I use Google for my... I mean, I'm sure every Yahoo or whatever has a similar thing, but like, and you can put an RSS feed on your little, you know, landing page that you have, and then you're constantly updated, because I know it's hard to remember to go to each website and stuff like that, but when you... How the RSS feed come up, and then, you know, he has a witty title for one of his, like, taco trucks. I'm clicking on that, you know? Like, that's something I'm going to click on is the taco truck. So there are a few things that I wanted to remind people about that are going on this weekend, and I'll be in trouble if I don't mention them. The first thing is actually on Thursday night. It's a Slow Down at the Brewery. It's a new thing that the Slow Food... is putting together, and it's a way for chefs, restaurateurs, farmers, foodies, the press, what have you, can get together at everyone's favorite local organic brewery, Orlando Brewing. It's from 6 to 9 p.m., and the guest speaker this time is one of my good friends. Her name is Tia, and she's the president of the Simple Living Institute. So that's Thursday night. Is that tomorrow night? Yes. Oh, gosh. And then you mentioned the Vibe earlier. That's at the Cameo on Friday. Beef Wellington and Da Vinci, Alex of Salilla, Peter Baldwin, a bunch more music. Plus, there was like a ridiculous amount of artists, and they're doing mind, body, soul stuff too. So there'll be henna artists, tarot readers, all kinds of things. Kind of like the Mills 50 Taste of that happened a couple months back now. So that's the Vibe at the Cameo on Friday, and then on Saturday. This guy named Jeff Barrett, he's going to be giving a medicinal marijuana comedy sketch at 420, of course, to launch Brew and Groove, which is an all-day event at the brewery again. The legendary JCs are headlining that. The other bands are Human Condition, Robert Johnson, The Token Gamblers, Sonic Playground, and several more. But there's also going to be like Fresh Juice, Joe Oates Patties is going to be out there with some food. There'll be some art vendors and stuff like that. So all of those events, I know Thursday, Friday, and Saturday what I'm doing. But I kind of want to go to that Stardust thing that you have on your blog.
Which one? What is that?
Remember
let me find it. Sorry.
I'm going to have to like double it up on whatever day that is. I think that's on Thursday, Friday. I don't know. But it was some, I mean, if Pat Green's involved, then it's going to be cool.
Dead air. I'm trying to find it. Wait. Florida Quarterly Noise Report, the pre-event, the gala is Friday, June 26th.
And you had something else up there that start with an I. Man, I think this
Friday
is
thing.
Friday thing.
With an I. Oh, Ignite Orlando.
Yes. What
that
was
is
that?
Tonight, Ignite Orlando. You come. It's like a couple hours long. It's free. It's downtown. It starts at 6:30 tonight. So you go to the Audubon Community Market at
five,
and then at 6:30 you go downtown, find a parking space somewhere. Slingapores. It's a presentation. These people go up on stage. They give are given 5 minutes and 20 slides to talk about whatever they want. And you can Google Ignite and you'll Ignite Orlando.com. It's just like the people talking about stuff they know about.
I want to do that.
You should do that. Maybe the next time you should.
Yeah, I'm going to totally look into that.
And afterwards, they have the first MP3 Orlando MP3 experiment where you, before you come to the event, you download the MP3, you bring your MP3 player, and then it gives you takes you on like a 30-minute adventure all around downtown Orlando.
Oh, that's bizarro.
It's kind of one of those opportunities of like it's a little bit of geeks in there, a couple artists, a few actors come, and
I'm telling you,
geeky.
This is totally. I love this town. So many bizarre, really random things. They started doing. Shine Yoga started doing. Guerrilla yoga, where they're like going to be, I think they're going to do yoga on the steps of City Hall, like just to raise awareness and get people going, what the heck, kind of like Brian Feldman, you're always like, what the heck is that guy doing over there, you know? And it's interesting. It makes life a lot more interesting when you have all these things going on. So
there's a lot of good stuff, and I think those people who do all this great creative work really want to get the word out.
Yeah.
And they're trying.
Well, and then one other thing that's happening after you do that, there's a new thing launching at the Indian called Sessions, which you would not know anything about because it's music, Mark.
I totally blogged about it.
You
all
did?
About it. Because I love the Indian. And
right.
I'm actually going to my first press screening.
Oh.
They've actually invited me.
Oh.
So
you're on the list.
But tomorrow at 10 a.m.
Oh, what is that press screening about?
It's some movie. I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
I'll write about it later. But Sessions.
Yeah, so Sessions is it's tonight, and they're actually starting off with, because, you know, it's so funny because you go into all these restaurants and you have no idea that you're being served by one of the most talented musicians in town. And that is the case a lot of times at the Indian. I think tonight they're doing basically, they're featuring four Indian employees that are actually awesome musicians. And so I know one of them, Mike Foreman, he used to work for me. And he works there now, and he's just totally awesome. So it's going to be a really good show. And there's so many talented musicians, especially when you're looking at a place like the Indian. I mean, those people are just oozing with talent. So, and you would never know it because they're just making your food and serving you the meal on a platter there. But it should be fun. So that's going to be, if you haven't been down to the Eden Bar yet, it is the Indians created a bar right outside, and it's beautiful. It's covered. There's misting fans. Or misting, I don't know if they're fans, but misting devices. Yeah, I don't know how eco-friendly it is. Whatever. It keeps you cool, and that's awesome. So there's going to be some live music out there, and it's called Sessions. So and that's one thing about a down economy. There's not ever anything, there's always something to do because everybody's like, okay, we got to bring the people in. So it's gonna be an interesting thing. So, well, I guess it's, well, oh, good. Yay. Our next DJ is here because I'm like, yay, we get to run over a little bit. But, well, Mark, thank you so much for coming on. It was a pleasure talking with you.
Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, absolutely. And where can people go to keep up with what's going on in town?
TheDailyCity.com.
Cool. Everyone create an RSS feed. It's my recommendation. And next week, tune in. I have no guest yet. So if you want to be my guest, give me a call. And this show will be podcasted later at frontporchradio.wordpress.com. And yeah, have a good one. Stay cool. Have a fun weekend. Lots of fun for you to have. So Dirty Panda Show is next. Is that right?
Yes.
And I don't even have a song in. So let's go with the... I'm going to put the Courtneys back in because they were really fun. And then we'll let you just... oh, shoot. Where
are
is
the,
it?
Are I'm the everywhere. Courtneys... Is that math rock again?
No, that's not the math rock. That's not the math rock, but this is the one with the cute little pictures all over it.
Oh, good.
So we'll play Bodmin Bunny. How about that one?
Word.
Bodmin Bunny. I don't know what this is. We're gonna discover. Here we go.
Shake it if you got it. If you don't got it, don't shake it.